9:18 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin off today, and Morgan Alexander, our producer, getting it done from behind the glass. Hope to have Dave Baker from WKYT in Lexington to analyze the Tennessee-Kentucky matchup. And, you know, for Tennessee, Blaine, their bench is going to have to do a better job than it's done. I mean, Fulkerson had a good game at Ole Miss, but other than that, in the past few games, that bench has not given them what it did earlier in the season.
Yeah, huge concerns from Tennessee's part. And I like what they're doing now. At least they're trying to get some less two-minute rest in between time, rotating some of the starters with Admiral and Grant, with rotating some different guys in. But I think that's going to be vital when they get down in the tournament, an NCAA tournament, that is, that they get some of their starters some rest and find ways to get them rest that way, because their bench is not deep and not a lot of experience there. I think they should have played them a little bit more. Maybe taking this philosophy early on in the season so you could, have some of your guys rested. As I said before, I thought they were getting fatigued. What has come out about is they had, the flu.
Mm-hmm. All right, the aforementioned Dave Baker from WKYT with us. Dave, good morning.
Somebody have the flu?
Yeah, so some of the guys on the Vols.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's been going on the last couple weeks.
Had a big flu scare there. They had to. Anyway, as far as the rematch, how much, I assume Reed Travis is not playing. So in the way you look at this game, how does that figure in?
I think it figures in big. I mean, he's a big body, he doesn't stuff the deal with a bunch of stats or anything like that. But obviously you've got to count for him. And with some of the big bodies Tennessee's got, he was certainly able to have an impact on that the last time. So if he doesn't go, which he's expected not to, Cal's got to figure out a different way to attack this Volunteer squad.
Kentucky had great. I mean, PJ Washington inside was great with 23, but Kentucky had a lot of success kicking it out on the perimeter, and Keldon Johnson lit Tennessee up for 19 points. So from a defensive perspective, what are you expecting differently from Rick Barnes in the way that he defends the Cats?
Well, coaches are interesting. I mean, some guys will just go at it the same way and have a belief that if they had the right scheme, and if they had just executed better, that the outcome would have been different. I don't know if Rick is going to do that or not, but obviously if they put more attention on Keldon Johnson, then that's going to open things up for somebody else. And again, if you don't have a Reed Travis, and unless Nick Richards or EJ gets going inside, if you're Rick Barnes, I'm going to guess that you're going to go about it from the standpoint of, okay, those guys aren't going to kill us like that guy's got. Maybe you can hedge out a little bit more on a Keldon Johnson until somebody can prove inside that, they're worthy of getting some defensive help.
We're on with Dave the Buzz Baker, and I guess, Dave, for me, is how have they looked, Kentucky, since they played Tennessee? Because I was watching that Arkansas game, and man, they were down the stretch there. They were looking like they were on the ropes.
Hold on, you're really not going to say that, are you?
Yeah, they look like that's what happened.
What did Tennessee look like the other night when they played Ole Miss?
Absolutely, Tennessee's looked that way. They have not looked the same since.
Well, no, they both had this game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, that, they were not thinking ahead, Dave. They don't do that.
I mean, that's just, it's human. That Arkansas had lost like 5 in a row or something like that. I mean, Kentucky's an 18-point favorite in the game.
Wow.
I mean, people can tend to focus on everything they want. I mean, except for that Kentucky game, Tennessee has been incredibly consistent. Except for the Duke game, Kentucky has been incredibly consistent. If you take a look since that Kentucky game, or since that Duke game, Kentucky has had 3 last-second losses, one of them which was on a tip inside the cylinder. And if not for that, they would have won 28 in a row. But I think what happens is sometimes when you're playing as well as a Kentucky and a Tennessee, that people start trying to nitpick you, especially talking heads on TV and everything who want to act like they're the greatest minds in basketball. But I think both these teams have played really, really well and I think they'll play really, really well tomorrow. I think it'll be the most hostile environment maybe that a Cal coach team has been in since he's been at Kentucky. I mean, there were some of those times down there in Knoxville, you know, when Bruce got the joint jumping, and maybe a few times in. But Florida's not as big. I mean, I think this is just going to be just off the charts tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see how both teams handle that big stage.
Do you think Calipari gets underrated, I guess, this season, and because he has a lot of freshmen and he kind of does the same thing year in and year out as far as coach of the year in the SEC? Because it seems like this crew came together sooner than later than most.
Coach of the year in the SEC. Listen, coaching, Mark will tell you this, coaching ain't any different than broadcasting. there's a lot of jealousy out there, right?
Yeah.
How was John Calipari when the Naismith list came out the other day? How is he not like in the top 12?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how is he not in the top 12? I mean, with the job he's done with this bunch after getting whacked by Duke in that first game, you know, how is he not in the top 12? And the reason is there's just a lot of jealousy out there. I mean, you know, this ain't Lexington Dave talking about this now, but I mean, that dude has done a great job with this team this year. I mean, after that Duke game, most people thought they were dead. And then, you know, you lose to Seton Hall and everything like that, and you know, you're able to get through all that, and you look here, and they're fourth in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess one more question for me, man, is Hero's my favorite player on the team, and I think it's just because of his name, but also because he's a really good player. Do you think he's coming back for next season, or you think he's going to go to the NBA?
Oh, I don't have any idea. I always tell people it's like NCAA seedings as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's not only what you do, but it's what everybody else does. You know, so are there some guys that are maybe expected to come out this year that don't come out? I mean, does he continue to play this way when you get in the tournament, or does he maybe take a step back, you know? We don't know that yet. I mean, right now, you know, he's getting it done. He's playing at an incredibly high level. Now you've got to believe that tomorrow that they are really going to body him up. I mean, body him up, make him uncomfortable. You know, Rick does a great job of that scouting report. Get him off the spots that he likes to go to. And, you know, It's going to be interesting. I think he's fine as long as he wears the black shoes. No, true story now. You can verify this. Rex Chapman and I are out there. We're getting ready to go on for the pregame show the other night. And we walk out to talk to Hero. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you got these shoes on for? And he had these white shoes on. He said, well, they look good. I said, as well as you played Saturday, you don't take those shoes off until they blow up like Zion's. Mm-hmm. So he starts the game in the white shoes. And at the first TV timeout, he comes back and he's got the black shoes on. And he goes for a career-high 29.
There you have
Players
it.
Are superstitious.
Fair to say they're playing for the SEC title, obviously, although LSU is in the driver's seat. A higher seating and real estate, and that is the Louisville location in the tournament.
No question. Absolutely no question. Again, you know, you don't know if Virginia has a stumble. You don't know what Duke does with the ACC tournament and when Zion's coming back. I haven't heard an update on tomorrow or anything yet, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's both of those. Obviously Kentucky, I think, would bring a bigger fan base to Louisville, but there'd be a ton of Tennessee people there too. And both coaches will try to downplay it. Rick won't downplay it as flashily as Cal will, but when you hear them both later today, they'll just, it's just the next game and it's this and that. But this is a huge game with big implications far beyond Saturday.
All right, bonus question.
Yeah.
Knowing the Pac-12 lacks talent and charisma, does your boy Patino land at UCLA, given their turbo booster, Casey Wasserman, you know, who owns everything, wants him in there?
Well, there was a report last week that Vegas had expressed some interest. But the report that you need to keep your eyes on is there's a Yahoo report from yesterday, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it or not, where the NCAA has intervened in one of these federal lawsuits, and they've asked for evidence now. They've asked for evidence involving where they got Will Wade on the wiretap. They asked for evidence where they've got somebody from Kansas talking with Merle Code about what it would take to get Zion there, and they've asked for evidence relating to Brian Bowen and Lowell. If anybody besides that guy over there with a Greek team would take Rick right now without knowing what the NCAA penalties and everything are going to be, they do so at their own risk and own peril. I mean, if you look at, again, the D'Souza kid from Kansas, the federal evidence showed that he didn't know anything about what his guardian was being paid. And that amount of cash was like $2,500. And they set him down for this year and all of next year.
Yeah.
There is court evidence that says that Bowen was promised like $120K to come to Louisville and that his dad had already gotten like $19K. I mean, this is a rare opportunity for the NCAA to show that they're sheriff because they could potentially, depending on the judge's ruling, get actual criminal evidence that they don't have the subpoena power to get in the course of a normal investigation. And I think because of that, if they get that, they are just going to wail away at the people that are caught up in it.
That's why you're my hero and not my Tyler hero. Dave, great stuff as always, bud.
Great talking to you guys. Are you guys heading to Knox Vegas tomorrow? You're just going to listen to the dulcet tones of one Bob Kesslin.
We are. We're going to watch the game, listen to Bob.
Do this. Text him and ask him about tickets and see what he sends back.
He won't respond.
No. Mine was impossible. Worst I've ever seen.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a great weekend, guys. Great talking to you.
All right. Dave Baker.
The candlestick maker.
Interesting perspectives there, especially on the extension of all this, what might go down in court. All right, straight ahead. He is now the highest payer in the history of Major League Baseball. But why did Bryce Harper do what he did? 9:29 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.